All right, brethren, if you will, let's turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. That was precious. Thank you, Bob. Even if we take a scenic route, still ends in good news, don't it? I like that song. I was on it tonight, buddy. My timing foot, like whenever Jimmy Buffett broke his leg twice, my timing foot's my right foot, and I can't keep time. I was right with it. I want you to stay still, and unless there's an emergency. As old brother Andre, who listened to this, if you're around bombs and you see him running, you run the direction he's running. If this place don't catch on fire and there ain't an emergency, and you just can't, I mean, absolutely bear from it, stay right where you are. This whole message, this one's for me, but I'm going to let y'all listen in. I'd really like it, too, if you'd stay with me. If not, I got a brother that prayed for me, and he'll be with me, and he'll listen to this message, too. I couldn't preach John 14. I got a lot ready on it, and where he's coming to, and I just didn't have the right spirit. I had the wrong spirit to preach it. That ain't wise. And I couldn't. I wanted something loving and tender. And I asked the Lord to give me a cup of water for you. And boy, did y'all see on the news that fire hydrant down in Little Italy? It was shooting up 5 stories. Somebody run over a fire hydrant. I'd have got so much water, I don't know what to give you. That's like me getting a ladle down there and be like, drank something. You'll see. I want to look at the title of my message. A good friend of mine preached about as long as I've been alive. He said, sometimes the church service, the worship of God, it's not family friendly. Now it is. We're just too uppity and too religious to think that it ain't. There's some hard things sometimes. You may have to go home and explain some questions children may have. I pray God's made me equip you for that over the years. Title of my message, The Head Harlot. The Head Harlot. What's a harlot? What's a harlot? I tell you all the time, it ain't a Disney character. That's a lady that sells all that she has for personal gain. She sells herself for personal gain, whether that be money or power or position or pleasure. Some of them just like it, don't they? That's what a harlot is. You know, there's some harlots listed in these scriptures. If you was going to write a book, I've heard some of y'all's histories. I've heard about your families. What am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you about generals that are in my family. And legislators and founders. We love founders, don't we? Somebody founded something. Do you know how I can tell you that that's wrong? And pride is coursing all through that every time we open our mouth. Every time I open my mouth. Do you know how I know so? Because it's the exact opposite of what our Lord's lineage is. He gave his family history in Matthew 1. Do you know that? He did. And Matthew 1 says, Judas begat Phares and Zamar and Thamar. Who's that? Tamar. She wasn't a harlot, but she sure did dress up like one, didn't she? For gain. She acted like it. And Salmon begat Booz. That's Boaz. Of Rahab. She's a harlot. You don't have to look it up. I'll read it to you. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. Who was that? Well, that was that Moabitess woman. What'd she do? She went and gleaned and she found the richest fella in town that she was related to. And she knew she'd get a kinsman redeemer. And she went in at night and laid down by his feet and said, I'll do anything you want. What's that sound like? And then King David. Jesse begat David. They had Jesse. They had Obed. Obed had Jesse. Jesse had David. And David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Bathsheba. What'd she do? Well, she's just an innocent woman, wouldn't she? Hogwash. She went and bathed out in public so the king would see her. And then he said, I'm going to kill your husband. She said, have at it. She's a harlot. That's our Lord's lineage. That's the women that he mentions. His family tree. Do you have a good handle on if harlots are good or bad? Do I? Maybe God will teach us something. I got an attention getter for you. That's a good thing when you're teaching a class. We talked about teaching classes the other night. I didn't bring my dry erase board out, but I'm going to get your attention. Hopefully you stay with me. You ready? My brother tried to fight me one time, and he's going to get me to hit him first. And he said, "You ain't nothing but a $2 line whore." I'm about 14 years his junior, and I said, "That's a lie. I ain't worth $2. Then he hit me. I want to give this to you in chronological order. I'll try to be as brief as I can be. Joshua means Savior. Joshua 2, verse 9. This will be in chronological order. And she said unto the men, we know the story, right? Two spies were sent into Jericho to spy it out. And this is Rahab the harlot speaking. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For, because we have read in a really old book, and we figured it out by ourselves. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. For we have heard. We all there? Joshua 2, verse 10. We got it? For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. This is about 40 years later. She's about 60 years old. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Word had traveled fast, didn't it? From the time they left Egypt, 40 years earlier, and they walked through that Red Sea, and they show up Jericho. Word had got to a harlot in Jericho. Someone had told this woman about what the Lord had done. Oh, to be an unnamed preacher of the truth. She had heard about those plagues that came upon Egypt, didn't she? She heard about that water turning into blood. That's number one. That's the first thing that happened. Remember that? We ain't got to it yet, but we'll remember it someday. And there was frogs that came, and there was lice that came, and there was earwigs that came. It wasn't earwigs. Boy, I think about them every morning. They're all over my toothbrush, and this ain't plague level, but we're getting close. There was boils, and there was locusts, and there was pestilence on the cattle, and there was the firstborn. A-double-L, the firstborn of eight. You think you were oldest children. Dead. God killed them. She heard that. She didn't hear that like, you know, buses fell out of the sky or everybody got some disease. God killed them, the firstborn. What'd that begin with? Blood. Blood was everywhere. What'd that end with? I tell you what, buddy, you kill the firstborn of everything and everybody, there's going to be a lot of blood. It began and ended with blood. Sihon and Og, they went after that and defeated those. Sihon, Moses sent letters to him and said, hey, we're coming through town. We don't want nothing to do with you. We ain't going to drink out your wells. We won't eat your food. We won't touch your people. We're just going to stay on the interstate and keep trucking. And he said, no. And she said, you know what? You just made me mad. So he gathered together an army and come after Moses and the children of Israel. And God said, kill every one of them. And they killed every one of them by the edge of the sword. And then Og, they just said, well, everybody died. Let's just go around Og. We don't want to mess with that king. We'll spare him. And he said, why'd they avoid me? And he chased them down, and they slew every one of them. God said, kill them, and they killed every one of them, didn't they? She'd heard about these things. Somebody preached to her. God sent her a man to preach to her. And it ain't done work in her yet, but, boy, there's a foundation laid. There's a foundation laid. God ain't going to save through a lie. And if there's breath in someone's lungs, there's hope that he may save them. He may give them a new heart. He may show them they ain't nothing but a harlot and save them. Maybe. Now, chronologically, verse 1. Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. They went to a house of ill repute, a certain harlot's house, and they lodged there. You know what that means? That means exactly what it says. They went to the city. They went straight to a harlot's house, and they stayed there. They went straight to Rahab's house. There's some commentary, and you know, one of them old brothers, buddy, he missed it the longer winded he gets. well, now this the version and that version. You just don't know. Just say it. God said it. They went straight to the red light district. They didn't pass go. They didn't collect $200. They went straight to Rahab's house. Oh, Kevin, how could you say such? You better hope he comes to your house. Better hope you're a harlot. God makes you know it, and he comes to where you live, that filthy residence of yours. That just don't seem right. That couldn't be right. Well, what's God say about it? I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. You didn't know nothing about that, did you? I will make darkness light before. That's a dark place. Now, what, hey, that's light. What did he tell Peter? Rise, kill, and eat, and don't you dare call something unclean that I said's clean. Now, did we go down there and intermingle with them? No, but if the Lord saved them, you better hush your mouth. We'll see it later on. How many spies did he see? Two. Two. He sent two spies. He sent them out two by two, didn't he? Or the Lord did in the New Testament. What else could this mean? Well, a whole lot of things. Does it mean the law and the prophets? Yes, that's what it means. Does it mean the Old Testament and the New Testament? Yes, that's what it means. Like Simeon and Levi. Is it the hearer and the preacher? Yes, that's what it means. Two eyes? We're made in the image of God, ain't we? How many eyes you got? Got two? He had two eyes, doesn't he? He sees the evil and he sees the clean, doesn't he? He sees everything. He's the all-seeing God. He says his eyes are his word. His word's coming, isn't it? What came to? The warning. That comes first. They didn't go into that town and say, hey, everybody, God loves you. He's doing his best to save you. Just like Jonah, 40 days and Hamul's going to be destroyed. Oh, man. I'll hear about that tomorrow. They came with a warning, didn't they? Tell you what else these two were. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Surely goodness and mercy. One going ahead, one coming behind. Lord's watchdogs, isn't it? You think it's that? You better believe it is. You better believe it is. Or it could just be two preachers. I've seen that my whole life. I saw Brother Don and Henry drive all over the eastern United States. And I've seen other preachers travel together. And I saw Donnie Bell and Scott Richardson. And I've seen this one and that one and that one and this one. And guess what happens in this day? Me and my brother's going to be preaching up in Rescue here soon. And me and another brother's going down to a little speck in the middle of nowhere in Arkansas. And they're going right now. There's two brothers preaching in Ashland. And John Reeves up here, ain't he? They lodged there. They made their abode. Well, if she didn't take them in, dust your feet off and go. Well, they don't want nothing to do with them. They won't receive them. They don't love them. See you. Verse 2. And it was told to the king of Jericho. There's always pictures of death in this world and evilness. It's told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men hither to the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. They had good intel, didn't they? Saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out all the country. That king of darkness, isn't it? The prince of darkness, the king of Jericho, sent word. He got word that the Lord's messengers were with a person, and he wanted that to end ASAP. I mean, right now. Make it stop. He accuses us, doesn't he? You got them people with you. He wants to sift us, doesn't he? He wants to remove us from the Lord and remove the Lord's people from us and just split it wide open. He said, you send me them people. What's it worth to you? What do you need? How much you want? I saw people sell out, and I don't mean sell out for that pearl of great price. It's a shame. My heart yearns for them. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's women, sometimes it's glory, sometimes it's a bigger church, better position. They sell out. Give them up for the child of God, not for nothing, never happen. King, come to your house. Say, give me that Lexus. Nope. This is important. This is valuable to her, isn't it? Verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus There came two men unto me. They came here. But I wist not whence they were. I don't know where they came from. Men come and go out of here all the time. You know that. It came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gates, when it was dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I wot not. I don't know. Pursue after them quickly. They said, some fellas came. They left right before it got dark. I think they went that way. Go. You might catch them. Run, for you shall overtake them. Verse 6. But she had brought them downstairs deep in a basement. Is that what it says? It don't say that, does it? What does it say in your Bible? And she had brought them up to the roof of the house. Up to the roof. And hid them with stalks of flax, for she had laid an order upon the roof. It was orderly. She had prepared ahead of time, and she exalted them and esteemed them above herself. You esteem your brethren above yourself? Are they better? Do they know more than I do? Have they been at this longer? You reckon maybe God taught them something? Maybe, just maybe. They have to be better than me. I ain't nothing but a two-bit prostitute and a liar at that, and everybody knows it. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords, all the way to death. How we got that wolf on our tail? Is it come and go? It's 24/7, night and day, all the way to Jordan. And ain't going in to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. They locked it up, but they're gone. She was a lying prostitute. But God. But God. Was she a liar? Did she lie? Yes. North, south. Yes, she lied. Was she a harlot? Yes. Yes, she was a harlot. Now, we know what we think about that, don't we? Do you watch them? Y'all got the internet machine? I bet it's on the internet machine, because I know it's on the news. What do you have opinions about this? We didn't know this great story. Oh, Rahab the harlot. Yeah, what about in our day? Huh? Is there a prostitute that lies to the government or about government officials? Or don't keep their mouth shut? Is that happening? There's some stormy things going on in our nation right now. You got opinions about that? What's God say about that? What's God say about this liar, this harlot? What's he say? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. That means she believed when she received the spies with peace. She received them. Did she buck at every word that they said to her and then go grab one of her Johns and one of her tricks and take them up back and say, now here's what really should have happened. Now hold on. Now, I ain't going to say nothing to her. She didn't do that, did she? No. She received them with peace. How she listed with Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Joseph there in that hall of faith in Hebrews 11. How is it? She was just like them. Do you know that? She ain't no different than Abraham. She ain't no different than Moses. She ain't no different than Jacob or Joseph or you or me. She is saved just like them. Rahab was saved the exact same way. It was absolute no different. A sinner saved by the tender mercies and the triumphant grace of the Almighty God of heaven and earth, and being put in Christ and covered in the blood. And he said, when I pass over, I'll see that blood, I'll pass over. I'm going to kill everything. I see that blood, I'll pass over you. Anything different? What about you? You got you a pledge card in your purse or pocket or something? Ain't no different. That's how God saves sinners, isn't it? Well, she had received the two spies. What was the two spies? The Lord's eyes, the Lord's words, the Lord's mercies, the Lord's warnings, the Lord's grace, the Lord's law and prophets, every word. That's what we're going to see in John 14. I keep your word. A brother texted me something this week, and I texted him back to the verse that he just said. I keep it. I was telling Kim this week, if I wore nothing but green ties my whole life, and I love green ties, and I always wore green ties. And then I read somewhere in the Psalms, it said, only God wears green ties. You going to make every excuse underneath the book and keep bucking and bowing, or bucking and fighting and gnawing, or I'm going to go home and throw over a green tie I have away? You get that? I keep his word. I didn't know that. Take that thing off, throw it away. Burn it. Burn it. He taught us something. A qualification for teaching is that you didn't know something. That's why I guess I say when I grew up, they said, I'm going to learn you something. You already learned it. I'm just going to learn you again. She received those spies. The eyes, the words, the warnings, the mercy, the grace, the law and prophets, the preachers, every one of those declare Christ, isn't it? That's all him. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Does that mean he does not turn away from what he gives and those that he calls? That's exactly right. And I tell you what else that means. That means if he gives you something or he calls you, you ain't going to turn from it neither. You can kick and fight and all you want. If he's going to save you, you're going to be plumb saved. You ain't going to do it. This whole time, she hid him up there, she lied, and she sat downstairs and she pondered this. Would you be saved? Would you? That ain't something to take lightly, is it? Is this a fire escape parachute religion? This is eternal life and death, and she took it. So she stewed on it all evening, didn't she? If she helped Jericho and the king, Israel's coming, she's going to die. And if she went against the king and helped Israel, well, then the king's going to kill her. She's going to die. You know anybody still alive from 200 years ago? We're going to die. She had only one hope. Before she went to bed that night, she knew that this day is the day of salvation. What's that mean? Right now. God made her realize that. I believe for decades. I don't care. I'm only alive right now. Well, I did a whole, but I preached over 500 messages. Who cares? Right now. She couldn't sleep. Look at verse 8. And before they were laid down, they was going to go sleep like babies. Call them as Hindu cows, ain't they? Before they laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. She came up to them two spies, and she said unto them, men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Your terror is on us. Oh, some wisdom's coming. She's afraid. She's going to die. Fear's a good thing. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My daddy always told me, he said, a child, you spank a child, because God tells us to. And they're going to physically fear you. If I do something wrong, mommy's going to whip me. Going to bust me up. And then as time goes on, we've learned about a holy God. Well, we're going to die. I deserve to go to hell the rest of my life for eternity. Right? And then as time goes on, he teaches us. And we see his long suffering. Now we honor him. We don't want to make our parents disappointed in us. We don't want to make them mad. We don't want to let them down. We honor them because of love, don't we? Fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom. And there's conviction of sin. And it's our inability and the Lord's ability. Verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. There's a holy, almighty God. How's that make you feel? Does your heart melt? Does it burn within you? God's people, it does. Set you on fire, won't it? Our hearts did melt, neither did they remain any more courage in any man because of you. For because the Lord your God, he is God. I want to come back here about a couple more weeks in a row. That's just the fire hydrants burst and water's going all over the place. I didn't know how much to scoop up. For the Lord, your God, he is God. Your God's God in heaven above and earth beneath. As soon as we heard about the Lord ruling in Israel and for Israel and by Israel, our hearts burned within us. And we laid down our weapons. And we quit fighting God and his people. And I quit kicking you spies in the shin. We surrendered heart and body, didn't we? From the king to the prostitute, we cry the same. It don't matter if you're an earthly king or you're a two-bit whore, you cry the same thing. Do you know that? That's what a harlot said. Your God is God in heaven and in earth beneath. Is that what it says right there in verse 11? That's what it says, doesn't it? Who else said something like that? A king said that, didn't he? At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. A-double-L. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? That's a little more long-winded. Kings can be that way. Same thing. Does that burn in your heart? That's the first time he lit a match in my heart. I read Nebuchadnezzar. I said, that's my brother. I know that fella. What do you do when you come in contact with a God like that? I'm going to tell you what to do. Can I give instruction, or do I know enough? You reckon maybe I know something, and maybe I'm here to tell you something? Beg for mercy. You come into a contact with the God, who is God. You bow. Say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I ain't giving you no prayer list, some kind of, it's like a prayer list, and what's that? Say the sinner's prayer, or some heathenistic, heretical crap like that. You fall down on your face and worship him. What if he kills me? He deserves to be worshiped anyway. What if I go to hell forever? So what? He's a holy God, and I ought to worship him, and you ought to too. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord. You tell me the truth. Make a promise to me. Since I've showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house. And give me a true token. A true token. I want to know for sure. I don't want some doctrine. I don't want some testament of faith that's super old. I want to know from God. I want to know from sure. I need a token. And that ain't all. You're going to swing for the fences, buddy. You're going to take it to the Lord. Take everything to it. And you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they that have, and deliver our lives from death. I want a covenant of mercy. I have to. What's the scripture say? The violent take it by force. And I'm violent. I'm a gentle man. That means I have the full, utter capacity for violence, and I also have the capacity for gentleness. But if this is desperation, it's an absolute necessity. I must have it at all costs. And if there's someone you care about, if you know the value of your soul, you will do any. I've seen it happen. I've watched it. God gave me that. I've watched it. They put their money where their mouth is, and their feet and their hands and their prayers and everything in them for those that they cared about, because they want it for them too. They did everything they could to get them under the sound of the gospel. I might offend them. God might kill them and send them to hell forever. What's more important? You're worried about your feelings. If you know the value of your soul and you care about people, you put them underneath the sound of the gospel. Do anything you can, don't you? You want for them to. How can this be possible? What good news is there? How can, everybody's going to die. That's all that's ever happened. The sword come out and everybody died. How can everybody die and I still live? Verse 14. The men answered her, our life for yours. You take your highlighter and highlight that. And then you underline it, and then you circle the highlight, and then highlight the circle that you circled the highlighting with. Our life for yours. You see that? You see that? Substitution. That's what that is. The men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not, this our business. And it shall be when the Lord, don't be wishy-washy. You stick this out, it'll prove through. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us this land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the wall of the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Why do you reckon he said that? You think it's important? Rahab dwelt in Jericho, that city of destruction, and she dealt, her house was all the way out there on the wall. So it's by the edge. At any moment, that house could be over. All my possessions are just about to die at any second. It's just about to be out of this city of death. And she dwelt upon the wall. I've been like that forever. I might meet God right now. Keep your lamp trimmed and burning. I need to update my will. I need to do that this week. God may take me today. You ready to leave? Or are we clinging just as hard as we can to this earth? What's our actions say? All her earthly possessions were on the edge of leaving this earth. She's going about to burn up. She dwelt as one about to leave at any moment, didn't she? Verse 16. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward go your way. That's freedom after that. Did she have a handle on the gospel? Was she doctrinally sound? Was she? What'd she say to them? They prompt her to this? Go to the mountain. What'd she tell them? Get to Calvary. Get to Calvary, or you're going to die because the law's coming. That's what we said when the police was after you, where I grew up. Law's coming. Law's after them. Law's after us. You get that? You go to Calvary, you're going to die. Law's coming. You hide there. You get inside the cleft of the rock. How long? 3 days. 3 days. You stay in there, completion and perfection, until the pursuers be returned. It was Jeremiah 50 saying, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found for, because I'll pardon them whom I reserve. Get to Christ. Dwell there. Stay there. Run to him. Is that bad advice? I ain't backing off of it. Go to him. Stay there. Hide in him. And you'll live. If not, everybody's going to die. Verse 17. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. You know what that line of scarlet is, don't you? We've been at this a minute. That's the blood of Christ in the window of our hearts. Is that agreeable? Brother Scott Richardson, somebody prayed too long or got a little too long-winded when he's real old. And so I don't know if it was like dementia setting in or if he was grounded and grown in faith. He'd take his hands real easy like this, and clasp them over that pew in front of him and put his head down and go, ah! I don't think the Lord's going to let me live too long. Verse 19. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head and will be guiltless. You get in Christ. That building's Christ. And whoever's in it's going to live. We'll watch them. We'll see that blood, that red. We ain't going to touch them. You have God's word on it. You get them in there. If they go out from us because they're not of us, that's their own blasted fault. And I won't hear it from nobody else. It's their fault. God's guiltless. You understand that? Here's good news too. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood be on our heads. If a hand laid upon him, he stands to lose more than we do. You're going to go to hell forever if God's lying. His glory is going to be tarnished. That's worth much more. He swore by his name, he can swear by no higher. Get in Christ. If you're not in him, you're going to die. If you're in him, you'll live. And it's coming. It's coming. Verse 20. And if thou utter this business, then we will be quit of thy oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. She tied it right then. And they went and came unto the mountain, abode there 3 days. And the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. You know that story, don't you? Have you lived it? I'm going to put this in shoe leather. This is for me. I've always heard my whole life, I don't know, 30, 35, 40 times. I tried to give it an accurate guesstimate today. You think Ray had checked that cord every few minutes? Make sure it was tied good? If you were responsible for having a clove hitch on that, would you be up for that? Or would you check it? If you don't know knots, tie lots of knots. All right? I understood that as a young man, as a young believer 20-some years ago. I can enter into it as a father now. Her daddy was there. Your only daughter is a prostitute. And not just that, the head harlot. She's the king knew her, the head one in town. What pain that would be. What prayer that would be over that. Or, as was just normal for us, don't talk to them. And that don't mean act like you don't talk to them. I mean cut them off. Ring, ring, hello. Hey, daddy, hold on, I'll get your mother. I grew up seeing that too. Years. Don't speak to them. I don't know. People's used to dealing with men that's wishy-washy or boys that can shave that are wishy-washy. Say something and stick to it. But you pray over that daughter. You love that daughter. And then she comes to you. Says, daddy, everybody's going to die. You saw that mess out there? They're going to kill everybody. You've heard the same things I've heard. Now, I've talked to them men. You get in this house and you'll live. And you're that father. Now you're in that house and you believe. And then day one happens. All of Israel marches around them walls, carrying that ark, blowing them trumpets. Oh, this is real. This is real. What do you reckon that father did? Honey, Rahab, one more time, you tell me what that fellow told you. Tell me one more. What is that all they said? Now, if we got to, you think she checked that cord, everybody in that house? Now, if it's tied there, they see it, we ain't going to die. They're out there now. They're circling. That first day, wasn't it? What about day two? They circle again. And the second day, they compass the city once and return to the camp. So they did 6 days. Kept circling. Tell me again, Rahab. Tell me again, Rahab. Tell me again, Rahab. I have to hear it one more time. This is life and death. It's serious. I know self-righteous people that won't listen to God's preachers because they can't see past their past sin that's in them. You hear me? The only one preaching the gospel in Jericho was the head whore, and nothing's changed. You go to any city in this world where the truth, where the gospel's preached, not some two-bit knockoff, where God sent men tell you who God is and what's coming and who to get into, who to bow to. Do you reckon that happened with Paul? Apostle Paul. There's a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. That means you accept it. Shut up and take it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm the head one. Joshua means Savior. It's a Hebrew word for Savior, isn't it? For Jesus. Did he make good on his word? Turn over to chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Verse 20. Those people on that seventh, they kept going around and blowing them trumpets, didn't they? Verse 20, Joshua 6, 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, the wall fell flat so that the people went up into the city and every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. Everyone died. That wall fell flat. Wasn't her house part of that wall? There's one little tower standing, wasn't it? But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath as you swear unto her. Just as that covenant says, go get them. Well, she came out on her own free will and accord. She was fetched. They took her by the hand and pulled her out, didn't they? Just like the ark. Remember Noah's ark? It ain't something we got on little kids' walls and coloring books and make curious art about and draw little pictures of it. Just abominate. It looked like a big old black coffin with pitch all over it. Big rectangle floating in the sea, wasn't it? Ugly. That house was Christ in that final day. Now, Kevin, that was a cursed house. Now, that's in the red light district. You can't say that. Yes, he was made a curse for us, wasn't he? This is good news to harlots. It's so boring, fuddy-duddy stuff for them. I'm over at the king's house. Verse 25. Who did the work? And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Well, I mean, that was a day, like, you know, a long time ago. Is he lying? Where's she at right now? Dwelling in Israel, isn't she? Isn't she? Who saved Rahab alive? Joshua. Jesus. Savior. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Where's Rahab this day, today, right now? She's dwelling in Israel. Who gets the glory for all that? Well, I packed a couple buckets of water with me. Verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout the country. They said, boy, guess what good old thing Rahab did? Nope. She just went to him, didn't she? She went there, and Joshua, our Lord, will receive all the glory and all the praise. There was some fellas asked our Lord one time and tried to trip him up his words, and it was a mess. They said, what authority do you have to say such things? Who told you it was okay to do this? He said, but what, thank you. Let me ask you a question. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. Now get after it. Do. Go to work. And he answered and said, I will not. Why have this man reign over us? I ain't doing that. No. But afterwards he repented and went. I'm sorry, Daddy. I'll go. And the second son, he said likewise. He said, you're going to go down to the vineyard to work. And he answered and said, I go, sir. Hello, Heavenly Father. Yes, of course I'll go. Burning incense, a bunch of hogwash. And went not. It was just lip service. He said, oh, Daddy, yeah, I'll go to the vineyard right now. Oh, get my shoes on. Went right back to bed because he's lazy. He didn't get up early and go, did he? Whether the twain did the will of his father. Of these two people, he asked him, the scribes and Pharisees, which one of them did the will of the father? And they said to him, the first. Like, he repented. He didn't want to go, but he saw what he did wrong. He saw his error. And that's just easy servants, isn't it? No, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Well, I'm much better. I've overcome those things. God says, I love that. Hooli's down there. I've only ate there once. I want to go again. It says up top, right down by the movie theater, the public house. That's what we call a pub, a bar, right? It's a public house. Well, people running Republicans. Republicans in the center. They collected taxes and sold booze out the back. It's a public house. But the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, John the Baptist. But the publicans and the harlots, they believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterwards that ye might have believed him. It was just some old fella talking. Didn't pay him no word, did he? Tell you what, them mafiosos and them hookers, they saw they was wrong, and they bowed to him. They said, what must I do to be saved? Believe God. All right, let's get baptized. I want to obey him. Is that good enough for you? Father, forgive us for what we are. Lord, make us know our end and make us know our inability. And put in our hearts the power of your Son. Joshua, who shall save his people from their sins. Lord, promise to us. Make our eyes see your words to us. That you will preserve us, you will keep us, you will cover us in that blood, and you will accept us in Christ. Make us see those things often, Lord. Burn them in our hearts. Forgive us for what we are. Thank you for this day, and be with those that are sick in the soul among us. And those that ain't, Lord, make them so. Teach us. Thank you for this hour. It's in Christ's name only, because of him, because of that blood that he willingly shed, and him coming to us, that we ask these things. Amen.